This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We are at Rewind 2024 in Scone, and we've got Mitch here with us before he goes on stage later. Mitch, great to have you back again. Looking forward to today.
We do rewinds up and down the country, but this one is always spectacular. And it's not just me saying it because I'm Scottish. All the other artists come back and say, you could have taken the atmosphere home, cut it with a knife and taken it with you, because it's always so vibrant.
I interviewed you way back at the beginning of Rewind, and I remember I was chatting to you, and you said you were standing with your little black number, which I thought was a bit strange, but it turned out it was your guitar. have you got a kind of like an instrument you carry on with you always? Have you got your lucky guitar or anything like that?
It used to be the really expensive guitars were the ones to have. And then you take them out on the road and they get beaten up, they get trashed, and you think, I'm not going to do that, because these things are like gold dust. So all the other guitar manufacturers now make these brilliant guitars. So the guitar that I'm using today, it's like £400 off the shelf, and you pick up, if somebody broke it or stole it or whatever, or you lost it or you forgot it, which I tend to do these days, just go and get another one. It's not a precious thing. The precious ones I've got at home, you know, I look after those things.
Visage, Ultravox, that was kind of my era sort of growing up, you know. The synths were just amazing, and 80s music just seems to have survived the test of time, I think, more than a lot of other genres. And you know, the crowds come to see guys and bands like yourself as well. What's so endearing about it?
I think the songwriting was the big thing. There was something about that early to mid 80s where, irrespective of what genre of music you thought you belonged to, the songwriting was fantastic. Whether it was Culture Club or Wham or Heaven 17 or Japan or Depeche Mode, any of those bands, the Eurythmics, you know, they all wrote really good songs. And I put that down to the fact that we're of a certain age. We grew up at the right time. We listened to the radio. We heard the Beatles and the Stones and the Small Faces, all these brilliant songwriters. And without actually knowing, we were learning how to write songs. So by the time it came to our turn to do our bit, we had this skill. So those songs have lasted longer than ever we thought they ever would. You know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months or whatever, that's the normal lifespan of a current song. Then the internet comes along, and films and Netflix, they use all those tracks all the time, and it moves on to a generation we didn't even know we'd still appeal to.
Do you think that because of that style of music, and because of, I suppose, that the groundbreaking music that you guys played back then, I mean, you're still playing now. I mean, probably a lot could be said for some of the acts coming out now. They seem to be more disposable.
Well, it's easy to be a short-term artist, because that's how the music industry was perceived. Even when I joined, you know, if you had 5 years of being in the music industry, you were doing really well. But there's a longevity now. You know, back then, when we were kids, the music industry was something that you gave up when you were 35. You know, it just felt wrong. You know, the rock, pop industry. Whereas every other genre of music, classical, folk, blues, jazz, you could grow old, and pop music was still in its infancy. Now you've got 80-year-olds stomping about the stage, playing in front of, you know, 100,000 people a night. It was you couldn't even think of it back then that would happen. So yes, there's a luck involved in having longevity in an industry like this. So you can't really blame any artist for having a crack at it and only getting 15 minutes of fame, and then it disappears and they have to go back to day job.
What do you relax to?
Everything I do seems to be stemmed around music. So whatever it is, whether it's photography or directed videos, or the only thing I do that's got nothing to do with music is cook. And then I did Celebrity MasterChef, and that put me off cooking forever.
Well, Mitch, have a cracking show, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's going to be a fun one.